The Rancor's Brothel presents.
Into the land of civilization came Nyarlathotep, slender and sinister,
and gave exhibitions which sent his spectators away speechless.
Men advised one another to see him and shuddered.
Where he went, rest vanished, for the small hours were rent with the screams of nightmare.
It was in the hot autumn that I went through the night with the restless crowd.
I saw hooded forms amidst ruins, and I saw the world battling against blackness.
I screamed aloud.
I was not afraid.
That I could never be afraid.
And others screamed with me for solace.
Beyond the world vague ghosts of monstrous things.
Corpses of dead worlds with sores that were cities. Charnel winds that brush the pallid stars.
And through this revolting graveyard of the universe, the muffled, maddening beating.
The crawling chaos.
Masks of Nyarlathotep.
Configurations in mutation.
For those of you who are getting ready for the gala this evening, is there anything you'd like to do specifically? That took your afternoon.
I have no social roles.
I have them and can't pass them, so.
Yeah.
You having them wouldn't help a whole lot either.
I would probably go shopping for like a new
cravat.
Tux or something.
Sure. Make sure. Absolutely.
Looked my dandiest.
Nice. Sybil, anything?
Shaving a haircut.
Bump, bump.
Two bits.
Two bits.
I'm working on it. My brain is stopping. Probably not.
It's not even 9:30 yet.
The two of you, what are your plans for the evening? Or should we go straight to the gala?
I think you can go straight to the gala.
Okay. What are you two going to do while she's at the gala? Are you waiting somewhere?
I'm assuming we're working our way out of Harlem.
I mean, yeah, but the gala's probably not till 8. So, I mean, you...
I'm not going to the Juju house with just the two of us, so I have no intentions of staying in Harlem.
Are you going back to your hotel room? Are you going back to one of their hotel rooms?
I would...
You going to your homes?
I would probably assume that they're going to be out the majority of the evening, so I would probably head to the Alcazar or somewhere that I know that I could sauce up decently well and wait till the morning.
You can go get trashed at the Alcazar. Lucas.
Cecil will probably just go home.
Okay. So you go home.
Yeah.
All right. That's where you two are in the evening of the 24th. Sybil and Mr. Young.
Owen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why do I have to be the first name? And he doesn't also have to be the first name. Why does
because
he get the last
Ripley
name?
Because Ripley Robertson is a pain in the ass to say.
But Owen isn't.
It's not.
Owen.
It's Owen Young.
I can almost say Owen in one syllable.
Owen.
All right. It's Boss Lady and Troy. Is that better?
Yes. For old time's sake.
You notice that the gala is incredibly swanky. They might be serving cocktails. It might be really, really, really on the down low, but they are probably serving, like, you see a very swanky place. They almost don't want to let you in. You give them the name. They actually let you in, but they're a little leery about it. But you do find that they are serving, you know, folks walking around on silver platters. You see security dressed up in tuxes everywhere. You're escorted to a table in the back in a far corner because you didn't pay nearly enough to get close to whatever the stage is of what's going on. But it is sort of a cocktail hour. People are mingling around, eating hors d'oeuvres. Actually, there was a wine and a champagne clause in terms of prohibition. So they may actually be serving wine, because if you had purchased the wine prior to prohibition, you could still drink it.
Wasn't there a religious aspect?
Yes,
to that
there
as
were
well?
A number of like bullshit. Let's get around prohibition laws.
Yes, including you could have a glass of wine with an Italian meal because it was considered cultural
fact.
Which is why pizza became a thing.
We also got NASCAR.
Yep.
I mean, prohibition mostly went well, all things considered.
Except for all
so
the
you're there.
People.
You're mingling together with, you know, the wealthiest of the wealthy.
We have no idea who we're looking for.
Yeah, we do. We know what she looks like.
Do
it
we?
It wouldn't be hard for you to know what Erica Carl looks like.
We've researched her in the paper thingy.
In the who's who.
Yeah. I don't know if you looked at Erica Carlisle specifically, but it wouldn't have been hard for you to do that sometime today or yesterday. Not to mention, like I said, she's covered in social papers. Her picture's in the newspaper all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I would...
Pictures going who's who for sure, right?
Introduce myself around, you know, author, good friend of Jackson Elias.
Bully, sir. Bully. And what sort of industry are you in?
I'm a writer.
Oh. Well, surely that doesn't pay well.
It's not bad, actually, and in certain circles.
Yes, quite.
Have you ever been to Cairo?
Oh, darling, yes. My husband and I went there, I must say, last summer. Quite enjoyable. The pyramids were just fascinating.
I say something to him in Arabic, kind of. I don't know what I would say something snottily, but obviously they'd have no idea what I'd say.
No, and they just look at you strangely and then walk away.
Nice.
I would basically try and drop hints like I'm writing a book about the Carlisle Expedition, things like that. Just trying to drop the name to see if I can get anybody to bite.
Oh my heavens. The Carlisles. Well, that seems positively scandalous.
Oh, just you know, as I said, my
Roger was such a playboy.
I would take a different tact since I already promised
you can split up
one person that I wouldn't sully the name and bring it through the papers.
Not sullying the name.
I told Mr. Gray that we weren't going to make this a big deal, so I would go more with asking people about Nairobi and if anyone had tips for traveling to Africa.
You hear a bunch of people tell you a bunch of different things.
Sure. I'm looking for one person
in
particular.
Oh, yes, when I was in Safari. Yes, it was quite nice, you know.
The locals.
Fantastic. Well, the locals are, well, they're not quite, you know, up to the civilities of...
What was the name?
Modern people, you
know. Of the guy...
But they do their best to keep the rest of us comfortable.
Royston Whittington, do you know him?
No, I'm sorry. I'm not familiar.
Okay. I'm just going to keep asking around and see if anybody knows the undersecretary that Erica Carlisle would have known in Kenya.
No, you're not.
Okay.
You're not getting
anything. I'm going to make myself around the room and eventually try to end up in the same circle as Erica Carlisle. Not necessarily seeking her out by herself, but ingratiate myself into whoever she's talking to.
Fair enough.
And ask about Nairobi. Not that you have a bad tactic. This is a good tactic.
Troy, people begin to ask you kind of about the book and what you're really writing. Oh, what is the subject matter, good boy? What tact are you taking on the Carlisle family?
It more centered around, I'm a folklorist, I guess, if you will. So I was researching the local tribesmen there and came across the story of... Or the expedition, and I'm just trying to learn the truth of it all. Trying to
find
out.
Well, you know, it is quite a scandalous family, after all. Not that I would say anything outside of the soft conversation, of course. And you notice that everyone's more than eager to shit all over the Carlisles private conversation.
I'd play it off more as, like, I'm not really aware of any of the gossip. I'm just more interested in the expedition and trying to find the truth of the matter.
Well,
and
my understanding is that the gossip is what led to the expedition, my good man.
And what do you mean?
Well, he fell under the spell of some foreigner who prompted the expedition.
Hypatia? Or was it the Sir What's-His-Face in London?
Some East African poetess, I believe. Frightfully scandalous for a man of his class and character, I might say.
Trying to expand his horizons, I'm sure. Trying to become more worldly and cultured.
Worldly. Withdrawing himself from polite society to deal with those people. Positively scandalous. You definitely should make mention of that in your book, he says as he walks away.
I'll make note of that. And your name, sir?
He's pissed off. you can continue to get dirt on the Carlisles, particularly Roger, if you're interested.
I'm really not. I'm essentially just trying to throw around the name to see if I can. Yeah, as Jasmine is just trying to get to Erica.
Yeah.
A few other things that you find out. His parents died in an automobile crash, which is when he got control of the family fortune. It's rumored that at some point prior to the expedition, he began to draw vast sums of money from the company, which caused private arguments between the shareholders and those in charge of the company and his sister. No one is quite sure what the expedition was for. That's also what you gather. They also shit talk his lineage quite a bit. That it's illegitimate, that it was a disgraced former family name in England, and they only came to the Americas because they weren't, you know, strong and aristocratic, and they're gunrunners, and blah, 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 and they make their money in unethical ways, says the oil businessman and the textile man. And Troy, make me a spot hidden roll.
Ooh.
Jasmine, make me a spot hidden roll with advantage.
Oh, 02.
Nice.
Ha. I spend one luck.
You both spot Erica Carlisle in an entourage. You notice Mr. Gray, her lawyer, at one side, a number of ladies, and you notice a big motherfucker standing nearby as well. This dude looks like he's going to bust out of his suit. I'm trying to see. Hold on. I think I have a description of Erica Carlisle somewhere.
The fact that Mr. Gray is there makes me really nervous because he knows my face. Doesn't matter how pretty I look up.
Erica Carlisle is a natural beauty. Her skin is clear and pale, accentuated by carefully applied makeup. Her clothes are fashionable, favoring European designers. She wears her blonde hair in stylishly short cropped curls. You would imagine her in her mid-20s. Mr. Gray, you already have the description. The large man behind her is a tall, solid man with Mediterranean complexion. He has wavy black hair, neatly swept back, but breaks loose in ringlets. His nose appears to have been broken so many times it lacks any real shape, framed by two sharp eyes that hint at an intelligence behind his brutish appearance.
So many people have broken noses.
Dude, I look looking at the picture of this guy, because there are little images of every character in the book.
Yeah.
He basically has no nose. Like,
he's a ghoul. He's got no nose.
I mean, no, his nose has just been fucking smashed like 75 times in his life. So you do spot them.
I would kind of work my way around the room and try to get in the vicinity, and literally, like, as I'm talking to people, like, more and more, like, loudly say the name Carlisle and expedition and writing about it, and just trying to get within earshot.
Right. As you get moving, you hear most of the clothes, and I told her, darling, that, you know, and you hear the end of the punchline and the ladies titter. And then you notice Erica turning your direction. Excuse me, sir. Would you care to sully my family's name to my face? If you don't mind.
That's no selling of your name, ma'am.
And may I have your name? You already have mine. Erica Carlisle, she says, extending a gloved hand.
And, Owen Young, and I'll take it. And yeah, I guess kiss it.
Charmed, Mr. Young.
I'm a good friend of Jackson Elias. I don't know if you've heard in the paper. He passed recently, but...
How tragic. My sincerest apologies for your loss.
I was picking up on his writing about your brother's expedition and some of the local tribes and cults of Africa and such, and... Just trying to get...
You see her sort of look in Gray's direction as you begin to talk. You see him start to puff up his chest a little bit.
Bradley Gray, I presume.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry, Mrs. Carlisle. Please, let me take care of this. And he starts to step in front of her, and you see her start to turn and walk away. You realize your moment to kind of speak to her is rapidly disappearing.
Can I, as Gray is distracted... come up in front of her and go, oh, have you been to Nairobi? I'm asking it positively everyone.
And you are?
Oh, I'm Mrs. Sybil Ripley Robertson.
Why, that is quite a mouthful, my dear.
Yes, I usually just go by Sybil.
Pleasure to meet you,
Have you been to Nairobi?
Yes, why do you ask?
Oh, because I'm planning a trip there, and I've been going around trying to find out everything I can. Seems there's quite a few people that have been there.
I believe that a travel agent would be most helpful to you, madam. I could get Mr. Gray to recommend you one.
I've talked to Mr. Gray. He was very unhelpful.
You see at this point that the large man was kind of approaching slowly behind her, and she kind of puts her hand up. Troy, will you roll me a fast talk roll? Let's see how useful Mr. Young can be. I'll actually give you a bonus die if you need it.
I will probably maybe need it.
Oh, that's not the number I thought it was.
It's close, but that's not going to be helpful.
Nope. Ouch.
Mm. You see what Sybil is trying to do? Oh, go ahead. If you're going to spend luck, by all means.
You can also push rolls. None of us have done that yet.
That just means I re-roll it, and if it goes bad...
Basically, in this fast talk moment, you realize that Sybil has made a connection with Erica Carlisle.
Yeah.
And you're keeping one of the two dogs at bay. You've not got the brute, but you've got the lawyer.
Yeah.
You know that she knows the lawyer. At this point, you're like, oh yes, I'm doing this, and you're doing everything you can to distract Mr. Gray. Your role is that he's now turning away from you, probably to notice them, and you know he's going to intercept Sybil. So pushing the role would have to be something to get Gray's attention back towards you. So it would probably have to be something drastic.
Like spilling your drink on him or something.
For example.
I mean, yeah, that would probably absolutely be the move.
Okay.
I mean, you could always just go, ha, got your nose. But I really don't think that's going to work.
Somebody does.
You can push the roll. I know what happens if you fail. I've already decided.
Do I get the bonus die on the punish?
Nope. Mm. Nope, I already gave you an extra die.
Yeah, it's a fail too.
So you see him turn.
Good.
Although, one moment. Because I've already decided this is what the f*** is going to happen.
How's your nose look? Is it maybe smashed in now?
Sybil's looks fine.
I'm not talking
about
you.
How's your dodge?
Yeah, how is your dodge?
It's not bad.
How's your fight back? Or your brawl?
Jesus.
Uh-oh. That's not a good thing. When the keeper starts swearing at the book in glee, we got problems.
Okay. So, the sequence of events that occurred thusly. You see Bradley begin to turn back. You reach over to a nearby table and pick up a drink and throw it in his face. You succeed in distracting Mr. Gray. I'll give you that. You also catch the attention of the large man who hauls off and decks you in the face for 4 points of damage, easily breaking your nose and throwing you over the top of a table.
No dodge?
The room... Nah, he pushed a roll. And this guy's really good at fighting. It's almost like he might have bodyguard in his title. And
I'm going to go with boxer.
He is pouncing on you as the room goes silent. Sybil, you see Mr. Young basically somersault on top of a table, and this large man grab a hold of him immediately. Erica Carlisle goes, oh my heavens, Mr. Corey. And then she sees Mr. Gray like, wiping his face off. Bradley, are you quite all right?
It's all right. I'm a nurse, and I'm going to get between the two of them. Or at least tug at Owen's arm.
Make me a really good make me a first aid roll.
That is a pass.
How good of a pass?
It's a 60 out of 80, so it's not quite half.
I'll say that you just take charge so quickly, everyone is taken aback as you immediately jump on top of the bleeding man's nose. You begin...
With a size of 80, I don't think that's working.
Well, I mean, 60. You jump on top of him and you like, grab a napkin and you're now shoving a very expensive napkin up his nose. You're trying... Pinch it right here! Hold your head back! As he's going... Ah, as blood goes running down his nose. You give him, I believe it's D3.
You get two.
Cool.
Less dead.
Lucas, are you fairly cognizant at home? Like, you're not, like, drinking yourself into a stupor or anything?
Just hanging out.
The phone rings.
Hello?
It's Mabel.
Mabel?
Yes, I'm sorry. I left word for Sybil, but I don't know if they'll be able to get to her.
What are you talking about?
Mrs. Adams called.
Oh.
She's worried. Something about Mrs. Schoenberg?
What about her?
I don't know. I just she said she wants someone to talk to her. I didn't know who else to reach out to.
She wants someone to talk to Schoenberg?
No. I think Schoenberg has gone missing.
Shit.
Back to the fight.
Wouldn't you know? I got a gut feeling when we couldn't reach her at the paper.
You've now staunched the bleeding. You've made quite a scene. The room is all staring at you. Security is advancing to bounce you out. If you're going to make a play to continue to speak to Erica Carlisle, you have this moment.
Perhaps this is a conversation best not in a room full of people.
I'm not really sure exactly what sort of conversation we should be having, my dear. I believe Mr. Corey was trying to remove your friend here.
Oh, my friend? Well, as I was saying, Nairobi, I think you would have some interesting insights. And
you need to roll really well to keep this going.
You'll see my introduction in your mailbox.
Mr. Gray knows who you are.
Yes.
So you need a really good play if you are not getting kicked out of the gala at this point.
Yeah, but he doesn't know who he is, right? Because he wasn't there.
No, the only thing that Troy has done is gotten punched in the face by an ox.
I mean, is this a point where you bring up the fact that we think that he's still alive? Like, is this a shock and awe moment? Like, is that your play? Is there a play other than that?
There is. This is your moment. Whatever your play is, this is your play.
That's why I'm talking and not being quiet.
I think it's fair.
I would yell that out under behind a bloody nose and like napkin hanging on my nose.
Immerse me.
I don't know that that's something we yell to the room. But
I think that's the only way to make this play.
Yeah.
Well, if you're
gonna make it public,
I would say your brother's still alive and we may have some proof.
A stunned hush falls over the crowd that was already quiet.
As I said, perhaps this is a conversation better left for not an open room. The gossip papers will have their field day.
You see Erica put her hand out like this. And you see that Joe Corey...
Hands her a glove.
No, he... he hands her a cigarette. And she lights it and just sort of... You just see her contemplating.
I'm not insulting your intelligence.
Please stop speaking.
So at this point, Cecil would just keep going.
Yeah, I know. That's why this is Sybil.
Mr. Corey. And he leans in and she whispers something.
Ooh, listen roll?
Sure.
Shut up.
Yeah, if you want to listen roll.
I don't have great. I'll give it a try.
Yeah, pretty decent.
It's a pretty quiet room, just saying.
No. Oh, I rolled two of the wrong dice. I rolled two tens. What am I doing?
Hard pass.
Fail.
You're not quite sure exactly what she says, but with the hard pass, you definitely hear the phrase, put them in the car.
Put it in a car.
Into the mic, Lucas.
No. It's a history of the world.
You hear... She then backs up, says, security, could you please? And she kind of just indicates, and all of a sudden you two are roughly pulled out. Like I said, the music that was playing, everything stopped. You two are now being escorted out. You very quickly realize you're not going out the front door of the hotel. You're going to the back.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Corey is following you. Mm-hmm. You get loaded very roughly into a Rolls Royce, and you begin to drive. With Mr. Corey in the back, watching you like a hawk, cracking his knuckles.
You're either going to have some more dialogue, or you're dead.
Right.
One of the two.
Yes.
Just so you're aware. You might so have, sorry, hey, sorry might if have it's little, bad because I brought up what I said. This is me apologizing.
We weren't put in the trunk, so I right. I already feel like we're on a positive wave.
You weren't talking
to my
people.
They're risking your blood all over the inside of a Rolls Royce.
Yes, they are.
Maybe this is a good thing.
Maybe it's not.
Mr. Corey, as he steps
we're
in,
being babysat.
Cracks both his knuckles, and as you see him sit down, he very surreptitiously pushes his jacket back to make room, and you see he absolutely is strapped with a revolver. And he sits down and stares at you. Let's go back to the phone call. I believe you said shit.
I did.
I just don't know. There's something has happened, and Mrs. Adams is terrified.
But how did she find out about it?
Apparently, Miss Schoenberg told her that she was going to follow a lead, and she said she'd hear back from her, and she hasn't heard anything.
What's the lead?
It's something to do with the case in Harlem.
All right. Stay right where you are. Don't let anyone in the room unless it's me or Eustace. Got it?
Yes.
And he calls Eustace.
Okay.
Because clearly in a hotel room where I am not.
Mm-hmm.
Are you sloshed?
I'm...
Schroeder, make me a look roll. Because that's what you described to me that you were doing. That's why I asked before we started this.
Yeah.
I pass. Hard pass.
Oh, you okay. Good? You're good.
You have drank, but you are stone cold sober.
Ring, 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 ring.
Man, I was really hoping you were going to fail that.
Kind of was. It would be funny.
How's it going?
Hello?
It's me. We've got a problem.
We've got a lot of those. You want to be more specific?
All right, tack one up on the board. Seems like that Schoenberg lady has gone missing.
How do you know that?
It appears that Ms. Adams called Mabel in search of our friend Sybil.
Okay.
Of course, is at the gala.
Right.
Apparently, Schoenberg went on some sort of mission to follow up a lead. She hasn't heard from us since.
What lead?
Couldn't get that out of her. We'll have to talk to Ms. Adams.
Cecil, did you really ask?
I did.
In what detail?
I said, what lead?
And what did Mabel say exactly?
That she wasn't sure. Are you even listening, man?
Would we have contact with Millie besides Schoenberg?
We didn't get a contact phone number from her, to be fair.
The last contact you had with her was storming out of a theater chasing a man with a hatchet.
I don't disagree with that, but the question is...
I gave her a place to go, though. I can call Mother Redmond and see if she's there.
It's not bad.
Party luck roll.
The two of us, because she's not a part of the party.
Correct.
She's not
there. Correct. What is your luck? That's Lucas.
My luck is at 32.
Your luck is officially lower than mine.
No, because your luck can't have gone.
You're sanity again.
This is the...
It's roll not back my the fault. Tape. These are poorly designed character sheets. I'm
highlight
just
one a different color. That way you'll know what's what.
It's in black and white.
You have poorly
highlight,
designed
eyes. Never mind.
Yes. Yes, I do.
Highlighter adds color. That's...
Am I the highest luck roll?
No.
At this point?
I don't know.
I would imagine.
I'm at 75 right now.
Oh, are you? Okay. I'm at 65.
It's a pass.
It is a pass.
Ooh. Okay.
Take if that you, luck.
Yeah, wish you, I could.
If you call Mother Redmond, she's spoken to Millie.
Where's she at?
She gives you an address.
To start?
In Harlem.
There are more questions that you can ask. Ask more questions.
How was she? What was going on?
Well, she was a child. She was she's pretty scared, trying to figure out how to get in touch with you and your friends.
Did she tell you where she thought Schoenberg went missing?
I believe that she said that she was going to look into the Juju house.
Of course she did.
That place gives off bad vibes. I wouldn't go there if I was you.
All roads lead there.
The NPC shrugs.
Thank all you. Right.
Sweet dreams, my mother. And he hangs up.
What are the two of you now doing?
Wait, are we in the same room now? Did you wait to come? Like, I don't even know how this
you two can figure out how you are in the same place. I assume you go to the Alcazar because that would put you closer to Harlem.
Probably best.
By my very basic understanding of New York
so
geography.
So I go there, then we make that phone call.
Sure.
Yeah, okay. Because Eustace would be like, why didn't you dig more into this?
So well, now I mean, now it's probably 11 o'clock at night, yeah. Maybe.
So here are our choices. We either wait till they return at the gala, probably who knows what, or we go by ourselves. It's easier to sneak into a place with less people. Let's just put it that way. As we both look at our stealth rolls, I'm sure.
Yep. I just really don't want to go without the other two.
We either go and hope that we find her alive, or we wait and hope that we find her at all.
I'm glad you finished that, because it was like, and we hope that we find her. I was like, what could possibly be the next word, Lucas?
At all.
You finished it well. Props.
Yeah, that could have went a lot of ways. Thoughts?
Not many.
That is the most Cecil on-brand thing I've ever heard.
I mean, from what Cecil knows about Harlem at night.
Yeah, no, I mean, Cecil knows a lot about Harlem, especially Harlem at night. So, is it safe? No. Is it safe during the day? No. It's Harlem.
I mean, I didn't know if there was anything other.
Is it safe during the day? No. Is it safe at night? Also, no.
Pretty much how that works. It's Harlem. It's cold out. Or they're looking for us in case we come into Harlem.
If we go out there, the chances of us coming back better than 50-50.
It's probably the same for those two.
Let's just TPK this bitch in two different areas. Let's go.
Four new players next week, people.
How much do you really want Millie Adams really to not die? How much do you really want Schoenberg to not die?
I mean, Schoenberg, are you asking Sus or are you asking me?
Both.
Like, Schoenberg has been like our main contact between a lot of people. Having her alive is very helpful. That said, as far as Lucas is concerned, I'm not sure how much more useful she is in terms of the people we've already spoken to. She's gotten us in contact, both Adams, along with a couple of other people. It's not to say that we've exhausted all of her assets. I just don't know.
What are the chances that you think we run into the Harlem Hellblazers?
Hellfighters.
Or Hellfighters and take them with us?
Well, we could always go to the address that Millie supposedly is staying at and see if she can contact them.
Maybe if we're going to do this, we try that.
I'd say if there was a hill for them to climb, as you put it, this is probably it.
And maybe she's the best one to give them orders outside of Sing Sing.
Agreed.
Then let's try that before we go by ourselves.
I don't know how phones worked back then, because it's an operator, right?
I believe so.
You
yes.
Just give them the address and they contact you through.
I'm pretty sure you would give them a number. So like you would say call.
There's no 411 to like, hey, here's the address. I don't know the number. To be able to
probably
call ahead. Can we try that and call ahead and try to get a hold of Miss Adams?
They would have to connect you to an operator closer.
Right. Like know. it would take, I mean, at this point, what it's going to cost you is time. If you want to try and rally the troops, you can, but it's going to cost you time.
How long does it take for them to patch us through?
I mean, it might be a few minutes. It might be 20 or 30 minutes. Like I said, it's a question of how imperative you feel time is.
What do you think? Is it worth calling ahead or showing up?
I mean, if 30 minutes is going to be an issue, by the time we get to where we think she might be, it's going to be an issue.
It's already an issue.
Right.
I'll let you guys think about it. The two of you. Do you guys have...
afraid. Stealth?
How you got a stealth inside a car?
I got some.
With a little literal bodyguard / hitman watching
you. With a widow bodyguard?
With a widow bodyguard.
Widow.
Widow bodyguard.
No, no, no. Not widow. Widow.
No, he's not little. He's fucking massive.
Duh. You've made that very clear.
Okay. Thanks, Jasmine.
I hate this fucking chair.
Navigate rolls, please.
Great. I got a 25 in that. I made a 23.
Nice.
19 out of 10.
I mean,
I'll put some points in it at some point. Tick that skill.
Sybil?
Yeah.
You realize that you are heading, and I mean, even Mr. Young would be able to figure out that you are heading generally north. You quickly leave the city. And that you soon realize you're heading in the general direction of the Carlisle Estate.
I'm going to assume, Mr. Corey, that you don't have the combination to the safe for the items that we believe will prove that Roger is alive.
He just stares at you.
That's what I figured. Has that bleeding stopped yet, Mr. Young?
I mean, mostly.
Yeah.
Mostly.
You travel along the Hudson River. You catch an ominous glimpse of Sing Sing Prison lit up in the distance. You quickly pull up to an elegant estate with a 3-story mansion on what looks to be at least 4 or 5 acres, surrounded by a 12-foot-high iron fence topped with sharpened finials. As the door opens, you see 2 armed gatekeepers. And you see armed men with flashlights and guard dogs patrolling the grounds. You are quickly ushered into an elegant estate. A massive entry with stairways leading up to all 3 stories. Mr. Corey, who's got an arm on each of you, along with 1 or 2 other men who happen to be by, probably a butler of some sort, as well as another. Like I said, these men are literally carrying rifles with shoulder holsters. This guy is walking around. This seems very peculiar. I mean, obviously she's a very wealthy woman and she would protect that, but like, she's got as many guards as you might expect. Did you serve in the war? Did we ever establish that?
No.
Like, this is like something that you would expect at like, I mean, this shit is almost Secret Service-esque. Like, holy shit, she's got a lot of bodyguards. Which might make sense as to what prompted the fact that you spilled a drink on someone and this guy leapt at you like you tried to stab him. But you're escorted very quickly into a side parlor where Corey roughly sets you down on a settee or sofa. He then goes and stands in front of the only exit door facing you.
Monsieur, madame, may I get you an aperitif?
Says the butler who has walked up.
A bit of coffee, some cognac.
Do you happen to have a cheese and cracker platter?
He turns briefly to Corey, and Corey nods.
Oui, madame. It will be a few minutes if that is acceptable.
Wonderful, thank you.
An Irish coffee and a pack of ice, if you won't mind.
Yes, monsieur. Perhaps we can have someone take a look at that.
And he again looks at Mr. Corey, who nods. And this, you notice that the corner of his mouth lifts up just a little bit when he nods that second time.
A 5 minutes, s'il vous plaît.
And he steps off. You can see that this place is unbelievably refined. The place is spotless. But like I said, you also see a lot of lights to the exterior. You see a lot of different places. You see a lot of massive windows looking out over this sprawling acreage. There's place to host, you know, dozens and dozens of guests. You think that there's probably easily 6 or more bedrooms and bathrooms, you know, on this floor alone. A few minutes later, he comes back with a small platter of cheeses and meats and crackers. He comes back with an ice pack, a couple of small, do I want to say snifters? Is that what I want to say? Of cognac?
Mm-hmm.
As well as some water and your coffee.
Irish coffee.
Irish coffee.
Monsieur, please let me know if that is too strong. I put just a wee bit, but if you'd like more, please let me know.
He leaves a little bell.
Maybe some linens from the rag closet, please. I do believe we have a broken nose on our hands. I will do my best to not get anything on the settee.
He has brought in a kit.
Beautiful. We're going to fix your nose right up.
You're able to patch it up a little bit. You're not quite sure if it's going to heal back straight, but you're able to patch it up a little bit.
That's character.
He adds, just like everybody else in this game, you're going to have a goddamn broken nose.
Everybody got broken nose.
To the Irish drinking Spanish Scotsman.
Cecil
has a clover scar on his face.
So he even sets down a bell. Should you need anything, you may ring the bell, oui? And he looks again at Corey for approval. And Corey doesn't quite nod, but he doesn't quite shake his head.
And your name, monsieur?
Gaston, madame.
Gaston. How refined.
If there is anything that you need, I would be more than happy to provide it.
No one.
Thank you. Somebody had to.
Is he in the book?
Is Gaston in the book?
Yeah.
Does it matter?
Yes.
A little.
I forget. How do you say thank you? I would say merci beaucoup, monsieur.
Mm-hmm. Is it merci beaucoup?
But then I don't, know, turn what, to look I don't know what the polite is. I only mercy? Know the...
What?
You know. Mercy? No, there's a polite way to say...
You're welcome?
Yes. I'm trying to remember what it is. I think the four fingers of bourbon have eliminated some of my French.
Well, if Maui has anything to say, it's, you're welcome!
You two now are left alone with some cheese and crackers, a ice pack for your nose, some booze, and Mr. Corey looming over you threateningly.
Are there many windows?
I mean, a good bit. Mm-hmm. This is the front half of the house. This is clearly a parlor. This is the place where you'd probably play cards or host a small bit of guests. But like I said, even what little bit of the opulence you saw, you would imagine there's a private library. You would imagine that there's a dining hall. This place is massive.
A drawing room.
I believe this would be a drawing room.
Sounds
or a front parlor.
I'm assuming that the drawing room would be
near the washing board.
Yep. And the toilet. No, this is, he would have taken you to a slightly more confined space. So
absolutely.
If you do try to run, he could jump and beat the shit out of you.
Does it have roof access?
No.
Roof?
I would ask Mr. Corey if he wouldn't mind if I, took in the sights, looked out the window to see, to see the view. I've not quite been in such opulence before.
He doesn't say anything. He doesn't shake his head. He just stares at you.
I'll stand up and look at him, and I'll slightly turn and keep looking at him.
He just stares at you.
I'm not touching you. I'm not touching
you. You can try and get out that window, bitch.
You get that look. You get that Cheshire Cat corner of his mouth grin. I was like, try me.
Make my day.
You do get the sense look around that there are
punk.
You might have seen one or two dog patrol guards. As you sit there and stare out the window, there are more than that.
She is fucking paranoid about something.
Maybe half a dozen, two-man guard dog teams patrolling what looks like 5 acres. The grounds are quite nice. Very well manicured. Some shrubbery, etc.
Y'all found some plot.
We did. I'm going to turn to Mr. Young, Mr. Corey. Would it be at all possible for you to either pass a message to someone or for me to have a short phone call? You may listen to the other end if you'd like.
This time he looks at you and just shakes his head.
Thank you for acknowledging me. Damn it. I can't get in on the other plot.
absolutely. Some time passes.
Stuck in a front foyer.
At which point you do hear a car pull up. You hear a door open. You hear Gaston.
Bonne nuit, Mademoiselle Carlisle. Please, your guests are in the drawing room.
And she's like, thank you, Gaston. And the parlor doors are flung back as she enters. You see her take some sort of fur off.
A stole.
Tosses it off to the side. You see her walk over to a cabinet, pull out a cigarette, put it in a holder. She leans over to Mr. Corey, who lights it.
Now, will you please tell me what the hell you know about my brother?
What did you two geniuses come up with? What's the plan? I'm very excited. Please let me know.
There's a lot of plotting going on over there, so you better have something.
We go ahead and call Ms. Adams.
As soon as you get a hold of her, which takes some time, she answers on the first ring.
Miss Adams.
Hello. Yes. Mr. Tarkington. Yes. Yes.
Well remembered.
Yes. No. I've been very concerned about you. I wasn't sure if I should reach you. I had heard sirens. I'm glad you're okay.
Yeah. Just Yeah.
Yes, I'm very worried about Miss Schoenberg. She said she was going to speak with me this evening, and well, now it's going on midnight, and I haven't heard from her.
Yes, Mabel called.
Yes, yeah, I'm good. I'm glad she got through to you. She's concerned that the Juju House is the center of all of this. I'm absolutely terrified that something may have happened to her.
It does keep coming up.
I know.
When was the last time you spoke to her?
She said that she'd be investigating today. I talked to her last night.
Well, about what time?
Oh, I don't know. 6 or 7 in the evening, perhaps.
Okay. She was going to investigate this afternoon.
This afternoon, this evening, I'm not quite sure. I had told her about the pawn shop across the street. I don't know if she was headed there or not.
At least not right away.
Daytime, nighttime makes a bit of a difference in Harlem.
I don't know, to be honest. I'm sorry, Mr. Tarkington. I'm just very concerned. She said she would call back. I told her not to do it. We know what happened to Hilton, and I mean, it's awful dark out, Mr. Tarkington.
Yes, it's late. The sun does that. Look, stay where you are. Eustace and I are on our way. Do us a favor, will you?
What?
Call your troops. We've got a mission.
Can you get a hold of... just say, can you get a hold of the helmet?
I mean, I'm sure she knows what I mean.
Tell them we have a trench to clear.
Something about a trench.
Give me the goddamn phone.
I'll hand him the receiver.
Tell Douglas, Needham, and Art that we've got a trench to clear. They'll know what I mean.
Okay. You guys go to Millie Adams' address?
Yep.
Like I said, it's midnight or later by the time you get there.
Yeah, it's dark.
It's quiet.
It's dark enough. We can keep out of sight from police for a while.
As you tap on the door, she lets you in. Please come in. And she shuts the door after you, and you see her lock it and pull the curtains. She's got one light on very, very low, and she's even put something over it to kind of keep it very dark. I'm sorry. I'm scared, gentlemen.
I understand. Why didn't you just stay at Mother Redmond's?
I didn't want to impose.
That was the whole point of me giving you the address. They know where you live.
I'm sure they know where Mother Redmond is, too.
No, the keeper does. Now, did you get a hold of your mem?
It's almost as if my NPC persuade role was not very good.
Eustace? Eustace can speak to them.
Eustace had an opportunity. You won the NPC to do it. I'm sorry,
I had an opportunity to speak with them?
Yeah, we didn't. No. We never had their contact.
Oh, no. You just had a choice. You had her call.
Oh.
No. Apparently, we only get one phone call. It's like prison. This entire game is like prison.
It's not.
It's almost like I'd rather you face the plot yourselves, f***ers.
Well, if we don't have troops, we're not going in.
Your call?
We can stay here with you.
But she was going to the place opposite the Juju House?
Possibly was the question.
Yes, there's a tenement house across the street that's sort of open to the public, and there's a pawn shop, long abandoned.
House across the street, is that the place where I assumed that we were being watched from earlier? Almost like an apartment building type deal?
Yeah. There's an apartment building on Ransom Court. Like I said, it's kind of a back alley thing where there are a couple of buildings that butt up to it. There's an abandoned pawn shop as well as a tenement building. So you could theoretically go into the tenement building like an apartment and just kind of hang out awkwardly.
Mm-hmm.
Or there is a pawn shop that theoretically you could break into because it's abandoned and you could keep an eye on the Juju House.
Oh, it is an abandoned pawn shop.
Gotcha. Yes.
Okay. Well, so, I think at this point that I would look to Tarkington and say there's nothing wrong with going on a walkabout to see if there's a...
Oh, to the creepy abandoned building? Yes, let's do that at night.
I didn't say go inside, just to see if there's any kind of presence anywhere.
When you're noticed better?
Do me a favor, will you? Look out that window. What do you see?
Nothing.
Harlem.
Do you physically look out the window?
Yeah.
It's a very dark night.
Looks like the new moon's about, Tarkington.
Shit.
Yeah.
Our title track, Ideathesia, provided by Sleep for the Weary off their EP, Catharsis. Find more of their music at sleepfortheweary.com. Introduction compiled from Nyarlathotep by H.P. Lovecraft. Like what you heard? Hear more episodes at rancorsbrothel.com. Join the conversation on Facebook with the Rancors Brothel and on Twitter at rancors_brothel. Send comments to the rancorsbrothel@gmail.com. Discover exclusive content at patreon.com/rancors_brothel by becoming a patron of our podcast. Most of all, keep circulating the tapes. Much love, listeners. See you next time.